I gave you two scriptures. I think we got them. I know I gave them to you last minute. Can we pull up the one in Corinthians? Let's just look at this together and take our time. What is my reward then? When I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge. Now, this context in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul is actually talking about money. And this is one of the first times in the scripture you ever see a preacher say, I don't want your money. That's why you haven't heard about it before. Uh-oh, we're going to be poor. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. So what's happening here is this is a church that's struggling. There's a lot of carnality. A lot of people are brand new. And there's always a correlation between a preacher asking for money and negativity, because everybody has a negativity with people asking for money, no matter who they are. Preacher, businessman, salesman, family. I'll pay you back. No, they won't. Come on, man, it's your brother. Exactly. How come you pay me back for the last 10 times I gave you money? Brother. Come on, we church folks together. Yeah, I don't mean anything. In fact, all that means is you think you can rip me off because I'm your brother. We treat our family worse than we treat anybody. Isn't it sad? You wouldn't do that to the drug dealer because he'd come kill you. Try that with a cartel. It's all good. Pay it back, maybe. You're like, no, you pay me back. I'll get it. We treat each other worse than some people in the world treat each other. It's sad. But look what Paul is saying here. You can leave it up. We're not done. All right, you're dismissed. I'm going home. Y'all read the scriptures. Want me to preach? All right. I want to leave it up. We're going to go through it one by one. Yeah, I'd rather have it up than not up. That's the default. So he says, what's my reward then? Now, when I gave you this scripture, the ones before this is when he was saying, look, if you don't want to give, if you think I'm just trying to get your money, then don't give. And then he ends by saying, this is free of charge. That means I'm not going to make you give to get my ministry. My ministry is free. If you give, you give because you want to give, because I gave. Because I gave, you can give if you want to. I'm not going to make you, because God will take care of me if you don't give. See the concept here? I know you're not used to hearing that preach. What you're used to hearing preached is always let the people give because it's the only way they can be blessed. So don't steal their blessing. I grew up in church hearing that. They were like, oh, no, you take up an offering. You're going to rob their chance to be blessed because it's better to give than to receive. So you got to tell them to give so they can get their blessing. Paul did not live by that all the time, even though Paul believed that blessing does come from giving. There are scenarios where people think you're just trying to get their money, and you've got to first win their heart before they ever give anything. So what Paul was saying is look, I know you probably heard about us. We take up offerings. We're preachers. We got a lot to do. But you know what? For some reason, I feel like telling you Corinthians, I don't know if you're ready to give yet. Because if you gave, you might think I'm only here for your money. So tell you what, keep your money. Wait, Paul, what are you doing? That's so stupid, bro. Somebody may have given $1 million in that service. No, because I might lose their soul over it. And what's more important than money is trust with the church. Tell you what, Brother Dale, if we get trust with the church, we'll never have a money problem ever again. Because money is a trust issue. And the reason people won't give money to establishments is because they don't trust them. So what Paul was trying to do here is he was trying to take new people who were already scared about all the changes and who do we trust. And he was trying to help them know that I still love you even when you don't give. Now, we just turned in our giving contributions. We're turning your statements into you. They're in the foyer. Don't forget to get those. That's for your last year's giving. You can use that for tax purposes. You can use that to get a tax discount, whatever. Talk to your accountant. I don't know why you wouldn't. My Lord, might as well use it, right? I don't believe in that. You don't believe in saving money? You don't believe in getting money back? Okay, whatever. Maybe you could give to the church if you... Well, do it for us. Don't do it for you. Do it for the Lord. And so I didn't actually look at the amounts. So I will look at the amounts because, you know, if you want to be in leadership, if you want to act like you're all sold out to God but you don't ever give, then of course that's hypocrisy. So I have to catch that, right? But I didn't look at them. This time. I didn't look at them. We just prayed over them. My wife and I prayed over them. And we said, God, I don't care if they gave a nickel or they gave $100,000, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what you've been doing. Nobody. Which feels good today. I just preach what I want to preach. I don't know anything. Nothing in the back of my head. I don't want none of y'all gave. Y'all could have stopped giving the last 6 months. I don't even know. You shouldn't even be up here probably, but I'll find out later, all right? Today, you just enjoy yourself. So I didn't look at it. I just prayed the blessings of God. And this is what we prayed. My wife and I laid hands on those statements, and we prayed and said, God, whatever they gave, God bless them. Thank you. Thank you for people that give. I hope that people love giving, and I hope that, you will show them that this works. And that's what we prayed. And we gave them to y'all. Y'all can pass them out and get them on your way out the door today. But I want to show you a spirit in that Paul is saying is what's more important than us taking up an offering for another $5 to buy a church van is trust between each other. And if I've got to make tents, I would do it. To protect you from thinking I'm all in it for me. You know, that's what we have to do. You can't go into a neighborhood being like, hey, we're brand new, we're a church. That'll be fine. You can't go into a community and saying, hey, nice to meet you. You don't know me. I need money. You go in and you love them and you serve them and you spend time with them. And then it organically happens where they say, Pastor, thank you for helping me get off addiction. How can I help? I'm a rich business owner. Oh, I had no idea you're a rich business owner. I wasn't doing it for that. I don't know you. And what they do is they say, well, I want to partner with you because what you did to help me, I want to see other people be blessed. So how can I partner with your ministry? And that's how organic giving starts in the kingdom of God. So this is really interesting. Next verse. What's my reward? It's free of charge. For though I'm free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. This is all about winning souls, y'all. See, we take up money to win souls. But sometimes we don't take up money to win souls. Oh, man, that's good. Never heard that before, have you?
Come on.
Sometimes we just do it for free. Actually, every time we do it for free. You know, I had this revelation. Counselors, Christian counselors, get to charge you before they counsel with you about the Bible. Pastors can't do that. It's unethical. Mine's free. That means I spend the majority of my time. That's why we need to take up offering right there. The carpet's falling apart. Things been driving me crazy, brother. You know, do you know anybody that does carpet? That's funny. Sometimes you don't take it up. Oh, free of charge. So, okay. Counselors get a degree and I don't even know. And then they go and they're like, I'm a counselor, I'm licensed. And they're like, hey, I want to talk to you about my marriage. And I know somebody right now charging $180 an hour to give you biblical advice about your marriage. $180 an hour. They didn't go to Bible college. They are not preachers, but they're using the Word of God. And they'll pre-charge you before they even hang out with you and talk to you about the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying you do it. But then whenever I preach and give my free time, you don't feel guilty. And I'm not going to charge. Never have charged. Never in my entire life have I charged to do God's will. Never have I charged to preach or teach a Bible study. I have no idea after 6 weeks of Bible study if you'll ever give a dime ever. You might be poor the rest of your life. And I don't care because I'm not doing this for money. Souls. Look what Paul's saying, y'all. This is the famous verse about I became all things to all men. He talked about money first. Because money is tied into I would do anything to win souls. That's the spirit of today. I'm free from all. I can do whatever I want that I might win the more. Next verse. And the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. It's all about winning souls, right? To who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those under the law. Next verse. To those who are without the law, without the law. Not being without law toward God, of course, because I'm going to obey the law in my heart, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. Okay, next verse. There's one more, verse 22. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might win some, that I might by all means win some. The whole context here is I would do anything to connect to souls, except for break God's laws. That's it. If I'm not compromising the word and the will of God, then I'd do anything to save a soul. Would you do that? Would you do anything? That's the spirit of this letter. Even if you thought it was offensive for me to take up an offering, if I was in a room full of new people and y'all didn't know me, I would not start by saying, before I teach the word today, I'm going to need you to give some money. You know why I wouldn't do it? Because they're not ready. They don't have a heart for God. They don't even believe in giving. Why would I do something like that if their heart's not in it? All you're going to do is offend people. I got another scripture for you. This one here is scary. If you've got little children, close their ears. We'll do something really old language. Where's the Acts 16? Oh, she's already ready. A little excited about that, Sister Myra. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews. This is way in the New Testament. What's going on here? Why are grown men getting circumcised? Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him, and Paul circumcised a grown man. Y'all know what circumcision is? Do you need to whisper to your neighbor real quick? Go ahead, tell him. I hope everybody knows what that means. Some of y'all don't know. Some people don't know. Even though it happened to you when you was a baby. This is a grown man. This guy's trying to be a preacher. He wanted to get a preacher to go with him. And it says, because of the Jews who were in that great region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. I don't know how back in the day they knew you were circumcised when you had all your clothes on. They must ask you, like, you know what I need to know. Do they carry it around with them, you know? They have like a pouch. Here it is. Come over here. How many know that's yours, though? Is it like a puzzle? Too far. I'm glad you're laughing. It keeps us from crying, because this is really sad. Can you imagine? It's like, hey, God, I want you to use me. All right, we're teaming up with Paul. We're going to preach to the Jews. Cool. What's my prerequisite? Well, I need you to come in the back of this room and put this gown on. I just want to preach. Well, the people we're going to preach to, it's going to bother them if we don't take care of this little medical procedure. Next verse. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. Is there another verse? So the churches were strengthened. And they increased daily in number because of something so silly and painful as doing what you have to do to connect to people. And here's the pride of a lot of Pentecostals. I dare not go against my convictions. Oh, this is a conviction now? It's amazing. You call anything a conviction you don't want to do. Like, I have a conviction against giving money. How convenient. Your heart told you that? And what we do is we say stuff like, I'm too holy for that. I have a personal conviction. I can't do that stuff. It's all about you, isn't it? The stronger brother can put up with more than the weaker brother. Those of us who are the most mature can handle it. Those of us who are most mature can give more and not get mad when the preacher asks for it. But the weak brother can't take it. He'll get mad. He'll run away and say, I can't believe that preacher wants to take my money. But those of us who will do anything to reach our city, even get if we had to, all to win a soul. I don't think I love people that much. Do you love people that much to go get that procedure done? Where does it say in the Bible to have to do that? It doesn't say it. It wasn't about holiness. It wasn't about your walk with God. It was about your ability to connect to the culture. My title today is Give to Grow. The first giving was from God to man. God gave Adam life, food, home, gave him a wife. Somebody say, praise the Lord. They sinned and God gave them mercy. God killed an animal, gave them an animal, gave them covering, gave them skins, animal skins to cover them. They lost the closeness and security of the garden. They were kicked out. Cain and Abel somehow knew to give to God from the increase of their earnings from their work. Someone taught them that when you make a mistake with God, the only way to get out of it is to take something back to God and show him that you're sorry and that you want to continue a relationship with him. If God gave me the animals and God gave me the fruit of the ground and God's blessing me to live, then by all means, I should bring God something back and thank him for it. And they had this concept from the very beginning. When God gives you something, you never just keep it all. Because you always want to reflect back to God that if I didn't have you, I'd have nothing. And the idea of tithing was born before God ever made anybody do anything. It was just kind of like common sense back then. Kind of makes sense. God is worthy. But when did men start giving preachers money is the question, because we can all agree that, number one, God is the one that deserves our money. Number two, God doesn't use money. We have ourselves a problem, don't we? Because God wants us to give, but God doesn't use. I don't even know. Does God eat the stuff we bring him? Back in the day, did he like eat it? Did he be like, thank you? Rawr, 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 rawr. I mean, they would burn it maybe. That's how God get it. He was like, oh, I smell it. It goes through my nostril. I don't know, but I know that giving to God is, we all agree, we should do it. But what gets weird is when it starts to involve people handling that money or those animals or those gifts. So when in the Bible did men start to give preachers or priests or godly men money? Genesis chapter 14 and 17, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. This is important, for he was a priest of God. What did the priest of God bring out? Specifically, two things that really ring my ears: bread and wine, body and blood. Why is that there? For symbolism. Why was it written down? Why does it even matter? It's just bread and wine. Because it's not about the bread and the wine. That's not much. It was about the concept. Priests are here as symbols to build bridges between humanity and God. And the bread and the wine was a symbol of Jesus to come. Here we have the first time in Scripture a priest, a worker for God, actually getting involved to bless people. Free of charge. Nobody made him do it. No one told him to do it. It's just what priests do. Let me tell you, when God calls you, you do it and don't ask questions. When God puts an anointing on your life, you don't ask how much it's going to cost you or how much money you're going to make. You just preach. You just love. You just travel. You just go. People sell their house. They sell their furniture. They go to Africa and they never look back. Because when the Lord puts a calling on your life, you don't count the costs. You just go by faith. If God gives you anointing, I owe the world. I owe people this gift that God has given to me. Preachers don't have money. They've got better than money. They've got blessings. Oh, here's an old school concept. The man of God is more valuable than anything you'll ever give him. Because God uses him to give you more than money. But God uses him to bless you. So look what happens in verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. What did he do? He blessed Abraham. You think that matters? Absolutely. God has always used his people to bless other people. God stands behind his men and holy women. And when men of God who walk with God place their blessing on people, it works. It makes an impact in every area of your life. It's been that way from the beginning, and Abram knew it. And look what he decided to do. After he received this blessing, the bread and the wine and the prayer, he said, "Blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Abraham just won a massive victory. He just made a whole lot of money. He had a lot of spoils from the victory. He was victorious, and he knew it was God that did it. He knew, "I don't deserve what God just gave me." And here comes this priest saying, "Blessed be God and blessed be Abram. I want to bless you. What do you have to bless me?" "Oh, not a whole lot. Just some bread, some wine, and some blessing." What did Abraham decide to do, and no one told him to do it? Abram gave him a tenth of everything that God gave him. No law, no commandment. No one told him to. Abraham didn't even ask for it. Or Melchizedek didn't ask for it. Abraham decided to do it. Abraham was known in his time as the richest man, most wealthy man. God could trust Abraham to have all that because he wasn't afraid to give it away without a strong message preaching to him. Because some of us will give today after this message. But the key is giving when I stop preaching on this stuff. Because I don't want to preach on it all the time. I don't want to be the reason that you give. I want you to see it for yourself. I want you to give unto the Lord. I want you to give because God blessed you. I want you to give because you're thankful for the priest. Symbolically speaking, you're thankful for the workers of God and their sacrifice and their walk with God that is able to bless you. No one told Abram to do it. All I can figure is that Abraham was financially blessed and knew it was the favor of God. A godly priest showed up to bless him. He felt led to give, for whatever reason, 10% of it to the man of God. And the details matter. Giving to God was established. Giving to those who work for God is an even better way to bless God. God doesn't need or use the offering and the tithing. God wants it to go to his workers and to the kingdom and to the ministries so that we can grow and we can expand what God is trying to do in the earth. God does not need your money. Why make a priest financially supported? He offers something more priceless than money. He offers people a connection to God. I'm going to tell you what's better than your boss, having men of God in your life. Because what we do is priceless. What we do is free. What we do, we don't charge anything for it. What we do will save your soul. What we do will help save your family. When God, you feel like, is a million miles away, I have a cell phone. Thank God for it. Thank God for men of God and women of God with cell phones. Thank God for men of God and women of God that I can call when it seems like God has given up on me. Thank God for brothers and sisters in ministry in the kingdom that when it feels like God is done with me and he's left me, there is a man of God there to bless me. There's a man of God there to love me. There's a man of God there to say, God's not done with you. I've come to tell you God's not done with you, that he still loves you. He still cares for you. How do you put a price on ministry? How do you put a price on that? That could be the decision of you going to heaven or hell. And you're telling me it's not a big deal. It's a massive deal, but I'm not charging for it. Totally free. If you want to give, that's up to you. Pastor, let me tell you something. That was an odd situation in the scripture. Is it really? His grandson Jacob said he was going to be wanting to give tithes too. God later required the entire nation of Israel, he required it by law to give tithing, 10% of their increase, and then special offerings on top of that. Tithing was for honoring God for the increase that he had already given. Tithing was a percentage, and I love it because tithing is percentage, and God loves to work through percentages because that means that anything God gives you, you're guaranteed to give the percentage on it, not just what you felt like giving. That's why it was 10% in the Old Testament And it was an honor back to God. They literally would bring their tithe and they would say, thank you for what you've given me. We know that you're the only reason why we have it. Some of you think you have it because of your college or your brain or your body, but one accident at work can make you break your back and you'll never go to work again. You better thank God that he's been good to you. We ought to praise God and thank him for the brain that works, because not everybody's brain works. Some people cannot work. Some people are reliant on the government or their family. But if you're blessed enough today to be able to get out of the bed and go make a living and be rich if you wanted to, then you ought to give God thanks. And more than thanks, you ought to give your tithing. Because it's honoring God, not about man. It is used by men. We'll talk about that. But number one, it's the heart. I'm bringing my tithing in to say thank you to God. Melchizedek, I need to know what you're going to do with it before you leave. No, you don't. It's unto God. Here's the problem. We don't give tithing to preachers we don't trust. Bottom line, 100%. That's it. Bottom line. You can give tithe anywhere. You can go anywhere and give tithes. People try to give tithes to poor people now. They're like, give tithes to the homeless. You know, I don't know if that guy's going to be your pastor. Maybe. Maybe he got something to offer you. But people find all kinds of reasons to give. But the truth is we don't give because we don't believe. We don't believe in the man. We'll find a reason to give to God. We just don't want to give to people we don't believe in. I understand that. Paul understood that. That's why Paul said, if you don't trust me, don't give. Because I do not want the devil lying to you, making you think it's about your money, because it's not about your money. Paul said, I can make money. I'll make tents. I don't need anything. Jesus taught all of us how to live homeless. Pastor, I'm about to lose my house. You'll be all right. Jesus was. I got good news for you. If you ever lose your house, become a preacher, travel and preach, and people will probably let you stay with them. That's what happened in the Bible. But stay demonically filled and travel, you ain't going to have nobody let you stay with them. I'm going to tell you, homelessness is not the problem. It's a lack of trusting homeless people. I just got a revelation right there. Homelessness isn't our issue. It's wondering if they're going to kill you at night. Oh, y'all don't think those thoughts? Okay, I do. That's me. I'm sorry. That's the reason why y'all hadn't have come live with you yet. Now, some of you do, because y'all used to kill folks yourself. So you ain't scared of them. You're like, I'll take them out. Don't worry. Pfft, I know. Well, you know, that's not me. I'm from the hood, but it was a neighborhood, okay? My weapon of choice was a tennis racket when I was growing up. If there was a bump in the middle of the night, I'd bring a tennis racket out. I'll hit a ball at them 100 miles an hour. I'd take them out. I'd just go out there with my little shorty shorts on, my little knocking knees, and they would run. They would be like, get away from that weirdo. What is that, an 85-year-old woman? Who is that? They'd run away. Praise the Lord. What am I talking about? It's trust. Homeless. The issue is trust every time. Money is involved. Here's the concept. If this church, whatever church you go to, whatever ministry you're in, if you don't trust them, don't give. But why are you here? If you can't trust me to preach the doctrine to you to get you to heaven, you can't trust me with your money. The two go together. And if you're not giving, I'm going to tell you something about you. If you believe in giving that's biblical, but you don't believe in giving here, it's because there's a trust issue with me. That's it. So guess what we need to figure out? Fix your trust between you and men of God. Get over your past hurt with money and other preachers and pastors. Get over what you watched on YouTube and talk to me about it, because if your issue is only that you don't trust me, start building your trust with me to where you can feel safe enough to give to the kingdom of God again. Is that good? We good? Pastor, does God really care about all this? Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings is what he said. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse. That's where they would grab from, and they would disperse it for the ministry use, that there may be food in my house. And try me now this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there's not enough room to receive it. Now, this is where we shout and have church right there. This is where the preachers, that's the go-to candy stick for a preacher taking up an offering right there. It's like, if you give, God's going to send you $1 million. And that's where most people go, bless God, take all my credit cards. You can have it all, Jesus. I want that $1 million. Majority of my giving has been secretly in my heart. I'm wondering if maybe God will have a rich uncle that I don't know about suddenly pass away and say, Kurt, I you don't know me, but I'm rich and I want to give you $1 billion. And it's because you gave $20 in the offering Sunday. And I'm going to keep giving because that's the only way out of my problems. You could care less about reaching our city. You could care less about loving souls. You don't care if we buy a church van to reach people. You just want to get your next $20. And I am as guilty as anybody of growing up in a culture that gives to get. But the Holy Ghost sent me to preach to our church today. We are no longer going to give to get at AFC. We're going to give to grow. We're going to give to grow. We're going to give to reach souls. We're going to give for the city. We're going to give for broken hearts. And God is going to supply everything we need to keep doing it. And you're not going to be homeless, and you're not going to live in a box, and you're not going to have to sell everything you've got. Our God is going to supply everything we need because we're shifting our mentality. We are no longer giving to get $1 million to take more vacations and buy more boats, but we're giving because souls need us. You feeling that today with me? Most pastors push you to give for a variety of reasons, but their favorite is the personal reward tactic. If I can get you to give, you'll get a check in the mail. Good. Only problem with that is after you do it for a while and you don't get no check in the mail, you start questioning the preacher's doctrine. And you see that preacher bought a new truck. I can't get a new truck. You start thinking about things and you start doing a Bible study and you start wondering, do you always get more money when you give money? I have ever strongly alluded to the fact that if you give, you're guaranteed to get financial riches. I'm sorry. I apologize. I was wrong. It's not doctrinal that you will, listen to every word, always receive riches in exchange for giving. It's not doctrinal, it's not biblical, and that's why I'm rising today to preach it. And people all over the world are wondering why people keep preaching it on TBN and YouTube, and they're still broke poor because we're only saying that to get one more penny out of poor people. I'm not doing, I gotta sleep at night. And I'm blessed. I thank God for our house. Thank y'all for giving. Thank God this church lets us have that because it's a blessing to have a nice home and to have our vehicles. We're so thankful for that. And you know what? That's about all we need. We're good. Yeah, you're never going to catch me doing more than what I'm doing now. I'm happy doing what I'm doing now. We're blessed. We're thankful. We want to increase to go to the next level. We want to keep pushing forward. There's so much more to do. But we got to answer this spirit. Is this good? You good? I'm talking about it, okay? Let's dig in this more. Let's do this. Let's do this today, okay? All right. You could get $1 million in the mail from a rich uncle after giving $20 in the mail today. You could. But here's how it works. You give by faith, and you don't worry if you're going to get anything back.
That's right.
That's right. That's normally how God gives you back. But if your intention is to give a 20 to get 100 so that you can go buy more food, nice fancy steak restaurant, then you're missing the whole point of why God wanted to give you more money in the first place. God does not want you given 20 to get 100 to go blow it. So now it matters what you're planning on doing with it. We good? Don't forget this as we're talking about money. The love of money is the root of all evil. So when you're expecting God to let your rich uncle die somewhere in Canada and send you $1 million, don't forget, it might destroy you. And that's the reason why most people will never get $1 million in the mail. Because you can't handle the $10,000 you make right now. Now we preaching. Oh, that was happy earlier when I was like, preacher got the new truck. But all of a sudden, I start digging a little bit, and it's like, what? I'm going to preach to me and you. We're going to talk about all of us today. I ain't scared of it. We got to talk about this because this is what's hurting people. The love of money, the love of money, the love of money. Not the making of money, not the having of money, the love of money. It's the problem. If you love it, you don't give it away. And I can tell if I look at your giving record how much you love money. Because if you ain't giving it away to something eternal, unto God, then you love it. So why would God give you more of something that could be your downfall? God cares more about your soul than us buying a new van. He'll send a van somehow. We'll figure it out. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll get Uber drivers. We'll just take turns picking people up. But God is not about to make our church rich, so you'll miss church more. And if you're struggling right now with money, why would God give you more? This is the hard truth. This is stuff you don't have to preach on the west side of town. Because they already know. And the reason why they got Mercedes is all that because they budget their money. And they don't show up to late work all the time. And they try and they work hard. Most of them are not trust fund boys, but the rich dad. Most of them worked hard, went to college. They get up every day and brush their teeth and do their time and their meditation. And they eat their healthy smoothies and they go to work every day and make a ton of money. And we want to think that they're so messed up, but we have a false self-righteousness. Being poor is not righteous. Being poor in and of itself doesn't make you more spiritual. Jesus had money. It's just what he did with it that's different. It's hard for rich men to get to heaven. And you want your rich uncle to die in Canada and give it to you? It's hard for a rich man to get to heaven. That means it's hard for a man that holds on to his wealth to get to heaven. For a rich man to use his wealth on himself to get to heaven. It's not hard for a rich man that gives it away to the kingdom of God to get to heaven. It's not about making it. It's about what you do with it when you get it. Every church that's growing has somebody wealthy helping that church grow. Every church. I could call pastors right now and say, how'd you build that new building? And say, we have a couple millionaires that are helping us build it. Every church. No church with people making 30 grand a year, if you all gave your tithing, would be able to build anything nice. None. There's not enough. Costs way too much to build churches these days. It's always because a few men step up and give sacrificially. Are you glad for that? We wouldn't have this building if it wasn't for wealthy people. We wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have padded pews, air conditioning on this beautiful property. You wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have a church school. We wouldn't have anything we have without some people that say, I could be richer, but instead I'll be poor. I want to support the kingdom of God. Too much money can hurt you. Maybe God is doing you a favor not letting you be rich. If you want God to bless our church and bless you, you have got to start learning to give at the level that you're on. Pastor, that's not me. Okay, Luke 16 and 10. One who is faithful in very little, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest with much. And then verse 11, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one or love the other. He'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in money. That was a different translation, I think, than what you have. But the principle there, go back to verse 10. If you can't be faithful in what you have now, the Holy Ghost, God, is telling you, you will not be faithful with your rich uncle dying. The reason why churches on the bad side of town never get to build churches is because the people have a poor mentality. They're selfish. What is the bad side of town? It's the town where people were abused. There was drugs, addictions. Mom and dad weren't there. That's the bad side of town. Now, I don't know how it happened, but it happened. I'm not here to debate politics with you on what happened to you and your family. I'm just saying the result is the result. So the bad side of town is the town where everybody fights to get their own and no one pulls together and works together to get out of the rut. And a preacher like me shows up and says, get out of your poverty mentality and you want to cut me out, then you're going to stay poor forever. Why don't you go listen to somebody who doesn't hang out on the bad side of town with a bunch of poor folks? Maybe that will get you out of the mentality. Surely you're tired of feeling like you can barely get by. What the Lord is saying here is if you want God to give you more and trust you with more, you've got to be faithful with what you currently have.
That's right.
You know what I respect? When someone's got nothing and they pay 10 cents in tithing just to try. I can work with that. It ain't even about your money. I say it all the time. I don't care. God will supply our needs. God will take care of us. We're going to be fine. I got faith. I believe it. I'll start a business tomorrow. I come from business. I can do it tomorrow. Y'all stop paying. I'll open a business. I'll have a whole lot more money. And you can't say nothing then. Maybe that's why pastors are starting businesses. Sick and tired of people telling them what to do with it. There's a lot of guys now starting businesses doing real estate, and they're millionaires, and they don't even take any money from the church because they've got sick and tired of their saints getting mad all the time about what they did. But that means I'm going to spend my time doing real estate instead of teaching Bible studies. Is that the will of God? No, I think the preachers in the kingdom should be busy teaching Bible studies and getting out there counseling and loving and taking sinners out to lunch. I don't think it's God's will for me to be out there starting a business so I can build a building for the church. That's actually biblical teaching. Amen. Remember whenever the apostles said, we're waiting tables and we're serving people, but we shouldn't be doing that anymore. We should be actually praying and fasting, giving ourselves the word, let somebody else serve tables. That wasn't because it was beneath them. It was because it was a waste of efficient time in the kingdom. God wants his best preachers preaching. Not raising money. We good? Y'all good? We had this rich guy back in Dallas whenever I was there. I was in Dallas for 10 years. We had this rich guy show up. Pastor got into his life, blessed them. He was a business owner. He showed up, just a good old guy, no airs about him. He didn't want to be in ministry. He just was just thankful that God saved his soul. He had a lot of extra money, and he began to give. And our church turned around like crazy. We began to buy a property, began to build stuff. We got a youth room, all these amazing things. The entire church began to be blessed because of one man. One man. That's all it takes, one person. And this guy began to give just amazing amounts of money. And the pastor one day asked him and said, I've never met anybody like you. I don't understand why you give so much. You just give so liberally. He said, why do you do it? He said, I give because if I don't give, it'll poison me. Talk to people that have had money, they'll tell you. Many of you haven't had it, you don't know, but you've never felt temptation like when you have extra money. Well, some of you know you're about to get your tax return. And the devil goes, hey, you know you want that new TV? Imagine that times 1,000. And so this guy was an amazing testimony. And you know what's cool? He just gave it. He never asked where it went, didn't care. And the church grew. And the church, the whole church grew. Everybody was blessed. And a lot of people don't even know. And so I never have forgotten the story of that man, because this guy, he just knew how to make money. He knew it was his gifting. He owned a business, and he just gave. And our church got new property. We had our youth center. We had an amazing kids center. The entire church was blessed over just one guy who caught the revelation that money is not for me. Money is for the kingdom of God. And guess what? He had a massive house. He had so much left over, he never felt it. It's not scary at all. He even paid for my wife's CD. $10,000. Wrote a check. Nobody's ever given us that much money. Nobody's ever given us that much money. Y'all, we were poor youth pastors. And he wrote a check so she could get her CD and get her album done because he loved her worship music. He would play it in his truck on the way to work, and he said it would just minister to him. He believed in sowing in the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, he made more and more and more and more, and he kept making more, and he learned you can't outgive God. And here's another thing he did. I wanted to tell you all this. He started to get other people like him caught on fire. And other business owners said, what are you doing over there? And he said, oh, this is my church. I love my church. And other guys with more money than him showed up. Because you hang out with who you are. That's why the west side of town has a bunch of rich folks. Because they speak the same language. And we will never turn the corner in Del Valle if we don't get a few of you to catch the fire and start rising up saying, this is the will of God. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom. It's about the souls. What could we do if we caught the vision of souls? Here's what I've learned. Let me hurry and try to get to my closing. This is my first closing. There's three. Here we go. Just going to go ahead and say it from now on. So you're not mad at me. Here's what I've learned about the giving to get back attitude. You have to prove you can handle it, number one. Because I do not believe God's going to bless this church if you can't handle what you already have right now. Number two, you have to give God something to work with usually. You can only have so many riches. I'm sorry. So many rich uncles and so many lawsuits. Oh, my neck. Oh, this is your fourth time in the last 3 years. You running into cars on purpose? You can only fall so many times at Walmart before they figure out who you are. That's funny right there. Oh, my knee. That'll be a million. It's like, what's your knee, bro? You're fine. Walk it off. No, I'm going to need a million for that. That's a wicked spirit right there. That's a wicked spirit. Sneaking around to try to get a lawsuit. Ugh, I hate that. Some of you give and God wants to bless you, but he don't want to bless the whole company you work for. It's like, well, God, I gave and I need you to send me $1 million through my job. That means your job's going to have to make $20 million. And that means your boss is going to be richer than he is right now. If you're working on a salary and your money funnels through the boss and God's trying to bless you with a bunch of money, maybe you need to get out from underneath that boss and start your own business so 100% can go to you. So that you can do what you want with the money. Am I right, Matthew? See, we've tested this theory out. This is how it works. A lot of you, you're wanting big money to come by working at McDonald's. You give your tithes. You make $16 an hour if you're lucky. You're like, God, I'm expecting today to be the day the boss walks in and just blesses me. And sure enough, he does. He walks in and says, man, the way you've been doing those burgers, whew, I just saw the favor on you. Give this man 50 cents more an hour. Lord, thank you for that massive raise. See, here's what we're doing in church. We're telling people that have no drive, no vision, no desire for a career, they're lazy, give in the offering plate and God will give you a bunch of money. No, he won't. I hope you don't stop giving because I told you that. That's what we're afraid of, Matthew. We're afraid as pastors that if I give you that revelation, you'll stop giving. But listen, your $40 isn't really putting us over the top here at AFC. We still good? Second closing. Here we go. Business owners can make a whole lot more, but they also take more risk. And some of you are mad because the business owner makes a lot of money. But listen to me. The business owner is the one that took the risk for 3 years and almost lost everything. Don't be mad at the guy that got out there and started a business whenever you were having the safe career. Because safe careers don't make a lot of money. Business owners make more than doctors. That's crazy, y'all. Anymore, he's rich. Okay, maybe you're right. But you don't want to take the risk, do you? Because some of us were not built to take risks. We were built to follow. And that's great. Work the assembly line. God has a plan for everybody. But don't be mad because the guy who risks the most is driving the nice vehicle. Because that's how God's kingdom works. Whoever's willing to risk the most gets blessed the most. If your career is low level, giving to God still works on you, but it may not be as dynamic. Your raises may be smaller compared to somebody else. I hope that this makes sense to you today. Let's go a little further. I don't believe that tithing always gives you checks in the mail. I believe it always rebukes the devourer. That's what it said in Malachi. It helps protect that little that you're already making. It'll make that little donut tire you're riding on for 3 months go a couple more miles. Ever been there before? I had my truck down the 2 miles of gas the other day. Lowest I've ever gotten it. I was praying. Oh, that was close. Who was with me? Omar? Omar, that's good. You can go get the gas. I'm glad you're with me that day. If you're going to run out of gas, make sure you got somebody that works for you. I planned it out good, didn't I? You pay your tithes. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It means you're going to get rid of the devourer. It helps protect what you have left over. It also gives honor to God. It keeps your walk with God right. Regardless of how much money you make after you pay tithes, it keeps your heart right with Him, which is more than money. But Pastor, I gave my tithing for 30 years and I'm poor still. I got some questions for you. You ready for my questions on my second closing? Did you get a good career that pays good, go to college, get a trade, or did you get a low-end career and you're mad? Because it's called life.
It's good.
You can only make so much money working at McDonald's. Stop being mad at God because you never tried. That's a hard pill to swallow, but we need to swallow it today. Own, come on, don't be a Pharisee. Own your mistakes. If you're 50 with no retirement, that's your fault. The government, no, no one did it to you. Own it today. Please, brothers and sisters, I'm tired of the Pharisaical poor person who said it's everybody else's fault when I'm poor. No, it's not. I looked it up the other day. I looked it up, y'all. You can look it up too on Google. What's the percentage of people who are popular or rich and have money that went through abuse when they were children? And this one study found 75% of people that have riches today went through personal problems, horrible problems when they were a child. And they said, here's the science. They become resilient. What's your excuse? Well, my mom and dad. Okay, what's your excuse? What's my mom and dad, my grandma, life, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks and the white man held me back and it's this and that. No! 75% of them. Go talk to Oprah. She said, I'm abused. And now she's loaded. Y'all, it ain't about where you come from. It's a mentality. You're not a giver. You're a taker. You're selfish. You're carnal. And you're mad at everybody. I just want to help you today. I'm not trying to make you mad. Listen, let me ask you a question. You paid your tithes, but did you blow the rest of your money on stuff you didn't need? What's your Amazon list look like? It tells you now what you've been spending last month. It's like, you spent. It'll tell you now, y'all, like in your face. Like, you'll need to take that off of my Amazon. That gives me conviction. Don't even tell me what I spent. Like, I'm trying to feel good about that. I feel bad about that. But I pay my tithes. How come I don't have money? Because you blow all your money. Because you still buy Starbucks and you can't afford to fix your vehicle. I love you guys. I hope you're understanding. I'm just trying to help you. Why do I get upset? I get upset because I care about you. I can't stand seeing the people of God not be blessed. In Malachi earlier, you know, in Malachi, an Old Testament principle was, when God's people are poor, they're not right with God. That's an Old Testament principle. I don't believe that in the New. But still, people see it. They watch our lives. And when we blow our money, it gives God a bad name. If I can't control my spending, then I am not a good disciple. Pastor, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get you to repent. That's all. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm trying to get you to repent. I'm not trying to run you out of church. I'm not trying to make you quit, God. I'm just trying to get you to repent and open your heart and say, God, help me. That's all I'm trying to do. Just God, give me wisdom. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm just trying to get you to see something different here. Okay, 30 years I paid my tithes. You all right? 30 years I paid my tithes. But I rescue poor family members who could have gotten a job, but they haven't gotten a job all my life. And I have no money left over because I felt guilty. Survivor's guilt. I felt like I owed my whole family my career. And so I've never had anything, and they have just been over here getting diabetes. Talking about through eating junk food, stuffing themselves with all your hard-earned money, and you're mad at God because you would not let your family take care of themselves. But you kept bailing them out all the time. Look, that's totally cool. Bail them out. But don't get mad at God if you have no money left. Are you enabling your family? Are y'all good? We okay? I'm trying to set somebody free right now. The devil has told you if you really loved them, you'd give all your money to them. That's not true. You're enabling some of your family and friends. Maybe you're a receiver of it, and that's why you're shutting down on me right now. That's fine. I'm just trying to teach you. You go home and pray about it, okay? I believe God will give you revelation on it. But don't be mad at God because you give your tithe and offering. It don't work. Do you overspend on housing, car, food, clothing? But yet you're like, where's the money at? Credit card, high interest. Didn't have to have that TV, but you had to have it today, and interest is crazy. Did you show up late to work the rest of your most of your life? Did you get fired all the time? Did you keep changing jobs all the time? Is it because of drugs? Because you were mean? Because you were lazy? Because nobody liked you? Is it really God's fault? Is it really tithing? It's not tithing. Listen to this. Third closing. You got to catch this. This is tithing can't rebuke the devourer when the devourer is you. What a vicious cycle that you're rebuking yourself every time you pay your tithes and become a bad steward of your money. We give God 10 and we devour 90. And God doesn't know how to devour you from you. Pastor's too late for me. I can't go back and start over. Well, you might be right. You might be 65. You might have to go to the bad nursing home. We'll visit you there. We might have a ministry there. Maybe you can start one. But don't get mad at God, because if you're going to heaven, it's going to be all right. Won't be long now. So I got a word for you today. If you feel like it's too late for me, I can't go to college, can't do this, you can do something. Don't you dare give up. That's a lie of the devil. I don't care how old you are, God can still burst something new in your life. You might be 70, but you can do something. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. It doesn't matter what mistakes you made. The devil is a liar. Get up, dust yourself off, get free of it, forgiven, and say, I will do the best I can with the time I have left. Look forward to heaven. Rejoice every day in your little poor house or apartment. Get out of bed and say, the Lord has blessed me with salvation. I may never be rich in this life, but one day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to see gates of pearl. Every tear shall be wiped away. One day I'm living for heaven, not for riches, not for trips to Paris, not for boats and trucks. I'm living to do God's will. I'll tell you, one of the good things about not having money, you're free. Nobody asks you for it. You got nothing to do besides read the Bible every night. You're free when you have no money. Some of y'all losing money is the best thing probably ever happened to you. If you feel like your time is over and there's nothing left for your life, there is one thing left. Stop trying to seek money and seek Bible studies. There is one thing left. There is one thing left. Maybe you'll never, ever have earthly possessions, but there's one thing you can still do before it's too late. You can teach God's kingdom. And lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where rust and dust do not corrupt. This is good. Fourth closing. It's a special day. Did Jesus preach, give to God financially and he will give you finances? Not really. He did say if you give to others, they will give to you. But why didn't he say if you give money to preachers that God would send you money? Did he not want people giving money to preachers and the church leaders? Well, Jesus and his disciples had money, absolutely. They had a money changer. In fact, they had Judas. They picked a really good one. They had Judas in charge of all the money. They had enough money to do a missionary journey for 3 years and still have Judas steal. That's how much money they have. If he needed more, they would fish. That's why I fish. It's spiritual. I look for money for paying my taxes and could be coins in the mouth. Money was not a problem for Jesus. He could get it anytime he wanted it.
He had it, but he didn't flaunt it. Because when he got it, it was only for the kingdom. So he had it. How did he get it? I don't think it was just fishing. I don't think it was coins and birds dropping. And they just dropped coins. Oh, gold coins. Thank you, Father. I don't think that's how they got money. I do believe what Jesus said. When you go into a town and preach, your gift will make room. People will support you if you do ministry. People have no problem giving money for people that are helping them get to heaven. Right? Remember Joanna? One of the business owners, apparently, in the New Testament, she had some kind of fabric business and gave her money to support the mission. She did not give it to a Old Testament-style tithing. She literally gave it to the ministry fund so they could continue to travel the world and preach the gospel. A business owner supported the ministry. The first church would sell land, and they would give all the profit and lay it at the apostles' feet. They didn't even call it offering and tithes. They just put it at their feet. Why'd they put it at the apostles' feet? If you can't trust the apostles, we're in trouble. What are they going to do with it? I think it's pretty clear what they're going to do with it. They're going to spread the gospel across the whole world. And that's exactly what they did. What about Paul? Paul talked about it. He said, you need to give the preacher and the ministry, give to it. He supported it. But the Corinthians, he said, I didn't push you because I could tell that you were uneasy at first. I don't want you thinking that it's all about money. Things really shift in the New Testament church with Jesus and the mission to spread the gospel of the world to the world. The old desire to have riches and show off God's glory starts to fade, and now riches are simply tools to fund preachers and ministry. Whenever we went to the New Testament, it's not that God stopped blessing people, but what changed is we're no longer trying to build an earthly kingdom. We're now using our money to build the heavenly kingdom. Jesus used money to work. Paul used money to work. Imagine Peter paying tithes to get a check in the mail from a dead uncle and then dying the next day hung upside down on a cross. What good is becoming rich when tomorrow I might die? You know why this giving to get money back doesn't work in the New Testament? Because we could care less about money. We're so fulfilled in Christ that money's just a tool. That's all it is. It just gets me from A to B. It just takes care of things, mission. It's not powerful. We have power over it. But you know when you're willing to lay your life down? What good is a vacation plan for Paris next month when you're being chased to cut your head off? You see, everything shifted in the New Testament. No longer was money something people wanted to get for themselves, but it shifted to, I want money to grow the kingdom. And that's the heart of what I'm preaching. Why don't you get the blanket, Andrew, right there on the stairs? Thank you. Bring it up here. Lay it out. Spread it out. Pastor, I gave money and never got a check in the mail, so why give? Why give? Are you serious? You've been giving for years. You look at your statement out there and you wonder what happened. Or you really don't know? How many have we baptized in Jesus' name recently? You really don't know? What did you get? Wait, what did we get? What did God get? What did souls get? Well, I understand why we do what we do. Really, you can't see it? I'm sorry if you can't see all the thing we do. I'm sorry that you can't see that whenever you give money, you get ministry for it. I'm sorry that you can't see when you give money, we get a church facility like this that we're blessed to have. I'm sorry you can't see people getting baptized and getting the Holy Ghost at the altar of this church. For the first time, I'm sorry you can't see a school. That's the problem. Pastor, I gave. What do we get? What if you never got a raise, but we got souls? Amen. Would you still give? There's no guarantee in the last days we won't all be living in holes somewhere. Can I have my money? Where'd it go? Is there another one underneath there? We're going to lose that, bro. Can you get it for me? I don't want to forget it. Got my own, some of y'all. Pastor, I give, but I don't know. At AFC, thank you. At AFC, we're going to be a blessed church, not because we give to be rich, but because we give to grow his kingdom. We are giving for souls from now on around here. And if I never get a check in the mail or a raise again, I'll still give because there are souls that need me to support the ministry. Aspen, you want to help me? Come up here. Sit up here on this blanket. This old moving blanket is a symbol of the revival and the souls of our city that we're trying to carry. Pastors come into an area, sit in the right in the middle. Just get prepared to be moved around. Wake up, boy. All right. This is a symbol of the souls, the new people. And what happens is a pastor and a wife comes into a town in a city like this, and we have a burden to reach souls. But here's the problem. We grab one of the corners of the blanket, and we're like, okay, let's go. And we try to work. And this is most pastors trying to build a church right now all over the United States. It's pretty embarrassing. There's so many pastors right now that are trying to lift the load of what's happening. But thank God for just a few people that come alongside. You guys want to help me? A couple of you guys? Yeah, you three. Grab a corner. You ready for this? Watch how easy this is. Yeah. All right. Go that way. Wow, that's nice. Well, that feels so good. Woo! Finally a relief. Let's go back over here. Yeah. Praise God. Let's go back over there. This is so easy. I was so tired before, but now it's so easy. All right. You can get off. Good. You can go. You can go down. All right. Come on, Omar. Jose, you stay over there. You ready? Yeah, lean that way. Lean towards Matthew. Hey, bro, you've been putting on, come on, dude. What happened to the old Omar? You ready? Let's go. We can even carry bigger people. We can even carry more. It's amazing what we can do together if everybody will pull their weight. It's amazing what we can do together if we just all grab a corner. It's amazing what we can do for God if everybody pitches in. It's called synergy. And God never intended for one man to do this. God never intended for two men to do this. God never intended for there to be one business, two business, a few givers. He said we can do it. Come on, lift them up. Let's go. Let's go. Lift them up. Lift them up. We got this. I don't care. We got this. All right, that's good. I'm over this. Stand to your feet all over this place. Are you ready to give? To grow? I'm not taking up an offering. There's no baskets. There's nobody saying, who's got a thousand, a thousand, a thousand? None of that today. Today is about souls. Today's about a building that doesn't hold them. Today is about a bus route that we're turning people away from. I've never seen so many hungry people. I've never felt more overwhelmed. We've got a need for so much right now. And today, I know I'm talking about money, but I'm really talking about your heart. Because we need time. We need energy. We need servant. We need volunteers. We need people helping. But this has to shift in us. What do I get out of it, Pastor? You make it nothing. Paul, what'd you get out of giving God your life? Shipwreck? Beaten. I was talked about. I was cursed. Left for dead. Got bit by a snake one time. Then they cut my head off in the end. What'd you get out of all this? Oh, I give to get money. Said Paul, never. You think it's about me? You think that we're given to God so we can get more of this earth? What a horrible spirit, Brother Edgar. Brother Edgar, if God wants to bless your business, I hope that he does. But I hope that before he does, your heart is in the kingdom. Amen. Not that you won't get a new vehicle or a house or something. Great, good for you. Maybe you need that to get everywhere and do everything you're doing. But when your heart is God's, he's not worried about the blessings robbing and stealing your soul. Brother Dell's asking for bus drivers. I've made a plea to our church. How hard is it to drive a van? What do I get out of it? Nothing. Nothing. You actually won't get anything. You'll lose time. You'll have to get up earlier. You won't get to hang out with your friends. You'll miss tacos. You'll miss coffee from Jaden. You won't get anything out of it except 15 people that don't have a car that want to come to church. And one day they're going to stand on streets of gold and they're going to testify that somebody like Bobby Ballard drove a van. How did you get here? Well, that was that church, but who took you? Well, there was this guy named Bobby, and Bobby would pick me up with a smile, and Bobby would sacrifice his time. And Bobby never got rich, and Bobby never got anything out of it, but what Bobby got was me. Today is a call from a pastor's heart to say we need to love people and be willing to do whatever it takes, from circumcision to giving money to selling it. If God asks for it, then do it. But don't do it asking God for something in return. Don't do it to say, God, make me rich. Say, God, only make me rich if I can handle it. Only make me rich if I'll give. And if I don't, take it all away. Would you lift your hands across this place today? I'm not asking for any money. God's asking for your heart to join the revival, to join my wife and I, because we need help. It's overwhelming. How many people are hurting coming to us? How many people are desperate for God? And how many atheists are out those doors? And how many people are just lost and hungry? Today's about loving people more than ourselves. Today's about the kingdom of God and becoming a worker for God. And whatever I can do, Pastor, I just don't care about me. I'll sacrifice for the harvest. I'll sacrifice my time. I'll teach Bible studies. If I got to get circumcised to reach a Jewish man, I'll do whatever it takes to preach the gospel. I don't care if it hurts me or costs me. I don't care if I've got to do something. My joy is not in the things of the world. My joy is in reaching souls for you, God. Today we're praying for God to put a call out to every saint. If you're a guest today, we are literally preaching this for you. If you're new to our church, I'm literally crying right now for you and your family and your lost loved ones and your backslid kids. I'm weeping today. I don't care about me. Thank God for his blessings. I care about what God wants to do in the city in Del Valle. The harvest is white and ready, and we've got to get our eyes off of us. This church will never see financial breakthrough. Your money is cursed until you tell God, I'll do anything it takes for your kingdom. I'm telling you, God wants to impart some supernatural words to someone right now to start a business, to take a risk, to give to God what he deserves. God is putting a call out today for preachers and anointing and missionaries to say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'll make changes. I'll change my cultural norms to connect to people on the streets. It's not about what I want. It's not about me. I've been saved, washed, blood bought, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm on my way to heaven. But they're not. They're weeping and crying at night. They're depressed. Last night we had someone come to church and say, I had to come to church because I'm depressed and I don't know why I'm depressed. And I have a roof on my head and I've got kids and I'm good, but I'm depressed. I don't know why I'm depressed. People all around this world are hurting and we're just sitting here like, but I need more. What else do you need? I've got Jesus. Do you believe he's enough? Come on, lift your hands. Do you believe he's enough? Is that the spirit I'm fighting against right now? Has the devil told you he's not enough? Has the devil told you one more car, one more house, one more raise and you'll be happy? Has the devil lied to you that you need things and vacations to be happy? Has the devil lied to you and said one more movie, one more drink, one more snack, and one more drug, and then you'll be happy? It's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is everything. Come on, let's cry out. Let's cry out for lost people that are hurting. Do you remember what it was like to be lost? Have you forgotten so soon what it was like to be addicted to drugs? Have you forgotten so soon what it was like to deal with molestation and the rape and the issues and the hurt and the depression, the darkness? Are you still in need of deliverance today? Or do you remember what it was like? There's a call going out today to join a team, to teach a Bible study, to get involved somewhere in the media team and the sound, and drive a bus or give so that we can keep expanding the sanctuary. We can make more seats in here. We can buy a bus to reach all the kids in our area. We haven't even tapped into Del Valle. There's kids all over this city that we could do a bus route and fill our church up. Brother Dale told me the other day, he said, I believe we could fit people if we had the vehicles and if we had the space. He said, we could pick people up for church and we could fill this place. He said, we just don't have enough. I truly believe with all my heart, God would give you the desires of your heart if you would put your heart in His hands. If you're not a member of our church, I'm glad you're here. Maybe go back to your church and take this message to your church. If you're a guest today, I want you to feel that we're weeping today because we need more time for you. We need more resources for you. We need more to love you. Some of you can't take someone out to eat for lunch because you don't have the money for it, but I believe God would give you the money for it if you would start to have a heart for His kingdom. If we can weep for souls, God will pour out blessings. I believe with all my heart, if we can be willing to do what it takes, God will supply every tool, every amount of money, every gifting and time and strength. I believe God would give it to us. Thank you, Lord. Would you just team up with someone beside you? Maybe you see someone don't recognize, put your arm around them, ask if you can just embrace somebody. If there's a guest, especially if there's somebody new to church, don't leave them alone. That's what it's all about right now. This is about Del Valle. It's about East Austin. Come on, we're going to plant churches. We're going to plant 6 churches. They're going to be satellite campuses of our church. They're going to have campus pastors, and we're going to reach this entire area for Jesus. We're going to have bus routes, Bible studies. We're going to have baptistry tank full all the time. We're going to expand this sanctuary in Jesus' name. It's all for souls, not for me, not for you. I don't care about my preacher friends. Think about me. I care about the lost souls who are hungry for God in Del Valle. God, call to us right now. God, touch business owners. I pray the anointing of business owners. Let the spirit of Joanna move right now. Oh, let the spirit of Joanna move in our church, God, that I don't need a boss. I can be a boss. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, I love you. Oh, God, I need you. But, God, don't give it. It'll kill us. God, if we can't handle money, don't give it. If we can't take it, don't give it. If we don't love souls, we don't deserve it. If we don't love our city, we don't deserve money. We don't deserve blessings. Come on, it's all about the person beside you. It's all about the people outside. I'm crying today because I know there's people right now that need our ministry. They need our time and attention and love. They need us to take them out to lunch. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Please stay connected to and struggling. It's going to take all of us. Come on, I know some of you are the only ones giving. Some of you feel like you're the only ones giving. It won't be forever. I'm telling you, there will be more join you. You're the first. You're the time.